Part 2, Chapter 10, Rasta Miracle. Shortly after we arrived on the island of Antigua, I took a walk in the villa area where we were living temporarily. And as I walked and greeted local people, I met a strange-looking fellow. He stopped to talk. He looked a little fierce, with long dreadlocks in his hair. But I was willing to talk. When he found out why we were in Antigua, he told me, "You should smoke the herb." He was referring to marijuana. He continued, "When you smoke the herb, you will see Jesus." I witnessed to him for a little while, but he only wanted to tell me how great it was to smoke the herb. We later learned more about these fellows. They're called Rastafarians, or Rastas for short. Rastafarians belong to a strange religious cult. They grow marijuana, make their own cigarettes, and smoke them. They say that makes them have the spirit, but it is not the spirit of God they have. An evil spirit comes into their lives and controls them. Not only do they smoke marijuana, they read the Bible, but they usually just read the parts they like, not the parts that could show them how to be saved from their sins. They do not worship God or the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them worship a god they call Jah. Others of them worship Haile Selassie, who was an Ethiopian regent from 1916 to 1930, and emperor of Ethiopia from 1930 to 1975. Among the Rastafari movement, whose followers are estimated to number between 700,000 and 1 million, Haile Selassie is revered as the returned Messiah of the Bible, God incarnate. Beginning in Jamaica in the 1930s, the Rastafari movement perceives Haile Selassie as a messianic figure who will lead a future golden era of eternal peace, righteousness, and prosperity. He was an Ethiopian Orthodox Christian throughout his life, according to Wikipedia contributors in September 2019. Many of the Rastas had an ambition to go to Africa, especially to Ethiopia. To them, that was their heaven. They liked anything reminding them of Africa. That was evidently their motive in breaking into our house while we were gone to prayer meeting one Wednesday night. Roland dropped the children and me off at the house that night after the service, while he returned to church to take other people home. When we stepped into the house, our hearts dropped. The house had been ransacked from one end to the other. Many things were missing. Money that we kept for the church, Randy's trumpet, our camera, costume jewelry, one of Roland's African chief's robes, some of my African outfits, our African tom-tom drum, Roland's Bible, and a dictionary. Other things were missing as well. We compiled a list and gave it to the police. They told us they would let us know if they recovered any of the missing items. The only thing we got back was a dictionary, and someone had written inside, "Rastafari and Jah." The Rastas grew marijuana in hidden places, even though it was against the law to do so. We found out about this in a very interesting way. Our boys, Randy, 11 years old, Tony, 9, and Jonathan, 5, liked to build forts in the bush. And when they found a nice bushy area near where we were living, they built forts there and had a good time playing in that area. One day they brought a gift home for me, 2 clay flower pots with pretty green plants in them. I set them on the porch and took good care of them, watering them every day. One day, a young man from the church came to visit us. When he saw the pretty plants, he asked, "Do you know what that is?" I answered, "No, the boys found them and brought them home to me. What are they?" The young man shocked me when he told me, "They are marijuana plants." Oh, no! Here I was, a missionary, growing marijuana right out in the open where people walked by all the time. I imagine the Rastas who had planted them saw them on our porch and had a good laugh. Roland took the plants to the police, and they wanted to know where the boys found them. They came out to our house and asked the boys to show them where they found the plants. When they took them to the bush, where they had seen many more plants like that, the plants had all been pulled up and were gone. In general, the Rastas on Antigua were antagonistic toward Christians and Christian churches. When our church had street meetings, Rastas walked right through the middle of the church folks and shouted, "Fire! Fire! Babylon!" They also interrupted some of our evening services at church by walking by the church, shouting and yelling at us. Would these demonic-controlled people ever be able to give their hearts to the Lord and have changed lives by the power of God? We doubted it. Jesus responded to his disciples when they asked him how rich people could be saved, saying, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 26. When the Antiguan Rastas heard Haile Selassie had died in 1975, they were much more calm and quiet. But some of them insisted he rose from the dead, even though his bones were found near the palace in Ethiopia. The Rastafarians had a hideout in the mountains of Antigua where they smoked their marijuana, or the herb, as they called it, and worshipped Jah. They built a little hut to live in for several days or weeks at a time, hiding away from the rest of the world. They cooked their rice with coconut oil, called ital, in a clay pot over an open fire. They used a cutlass to cut wood or chop coconuts, which they gathered from the palm trees. They ate fish, but they did not believe in eating any other meat. These Rastas also had a radio and a Bible. They read the Bible and listened to the radio, seeking to know more about the true way to God. They really wanted to know the truth. As they tuned the dial of their radio, they found a radio station that was different from any other station, the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. The things they heard on that station sounded like the truth, so they kept listening. One day, one of the Rastas, named Jerome Martin, became very sick and was rushed to the hospital, to the operating room. The doctors removed his appendix. While in the hospital, he thought he was going to die, so he told God if he would help him to get out of the hospital, he would not smoke marijuana again. He felt God would help him, and God did. When he got out of the hospital, he continued to listen to the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. Martin decided to visit his Rasta friends in the hills. They had just reaped a field of marijuana when he arrived. Martin decided to take some for himself because he was the one who took care of the plants. When he tried to smoke the marijuana, he remembered his promise he made to God while he was in the hospital. "If you will help me get out, I will never smoke again." God would not let him forget that promise. While reading the Bible, Martin came across 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Martin realized this passage was teaching against what the Rastas claimed to believe, forbidding to marry and committing to abstain from meats. God used that verse, verse 3, to convict Martin about the Rastas' false teachings. He showed this verse to the rest of the guys, and they all agreed it condemned their beliefs. The Rastas began searching more earnestly for the truth. They listened to the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse and heard a program called The Daily Light by a West Indian pastor on the Lighthouse staff. They were surprised to hear a West Indian preacher teaching God's Word. They decided to write a letter to Pastor Archibald. They chose Erskine to write the letter for all of them. He wrote, "Dear Sirs, we are Rastafarians, but we want to know the truth. We've been listening to you on the Radio Lighthouse, and we would like to know where we can find a good Christ-believing church where we can learn more about God." When the staff received the letter, we rejoiced in what God was doing in the lives of these young men. Several of us Christians from Maranatha Baptist Church visited the village where the Rastas lived and tried to find them, but could not. We finally found the home of one of the fellows, and the family said he was in the hills with his friends. The Christians left an invitation with the family for all of them to come to church. Roland and I picked up the church people in our area the next Wednesday night and drove to the Maranatha Baptist Church just before time for the prayer and Bible study to start. Much to our surprise, we met three fellows sitting on the porch of the Sunday school building, waiting for the doors to open. They were the three Rastas who had written the letter to Radio Lighthouse, but they looked different. They had read in the Bible it was a shame for a man to have long hair, and they had all cut their hair. They listened intently as Brother Archibald preached. The Rastas returned to the church the next Sunday. When the invitation was given that evening, they wasted no time. All three of them went straight to the front of the church, knelt down at the altar, and gave their lives to Christ. They were serious about serving the Lord and faithfully attended all the services, eagerly learning God's Word and applying it to their lives. They stopped smoking marijuana and stopped worshiping Jah. Now they knew that He was not a God. Now they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, and they knew they were born again and on the way to heaven. We watched the young men grow in the Lord for a couple of years and felt led of the Lord to invite two of them who had more education to join our staff. It was a joy to see them helping to send out the light and truth of God's Word to the Eastern Caribbean from the very station God used to bring them to Himself. They memorized God's Word as they took care of cattle in the fields when they were not working at the radio station, and Martin took cassettes home with him to listen to the sermons, especially Dr. Bob Jones Sr.'s messages, and to keep learning from the Lord. After a while, Martin believed God wanted him to preach. When Martin told us the Lord had called him to preach, we suggested that he attend Baptist Bible College on the island of St. Vincent. He He wanted to learn all he could so he could serve the Lord better. When he graduated from the Bible College, he returned to Antigua to serve the Lord. Maranatha Baptist Church was now in need of a pastor, so the folks in the church felt led to call Martin to be their pastor. Another miracle. The former Rastafarian was now pastoring the church where God saved him. God is still in the miracle-working business. 4 Rasta miracles. Erskine was the Rasta who wrote the letter to the radio station asking where to find a Christ-believing church. After he was saved and started working at the radio station, he met one of the Christian young ladies on the radio staff, Beverly, and married her. They now have 4 sweet daughters. Vanier was one of the 3 Rastas who came to the church that Sunday and was saved. He later went to New York to visit some friends. While he was there, he was in an auto accident and was killed. So he is now with the Lord in heaven. We rejoice that he learned the truth about salvation before it was too late. Vincent came to know the Lord later, after seeing how the Lord worked in the lives of his Rasta friends. He lived for the Lord and was active in another independent Baptist church. He also married one of the radio staff girls, and the Lord gave them 3 children. After his children were grown, he had a heart attack while working in construction, and he too is now rejoicing in heaven with his Savior. Martin continues to serve the Lord as pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church as of this writing. The Lord has given him a sweet Christian wife he met at St. Vincent Baptist Bible College, and he has blessed them with 4 wonderful sons. Yes, God is still in the miracle-working business. He continues to use the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse to work in the hearts and lives of listeners on many Caribbean islands. Within a few months of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse going on the air from the island of Antigua in September 1975, we had the joy of picking fruit. We began receiving mail from all the surrounding islands expressing the appreciation of our listeners to the broadcast. One came from the island of Guadeloupe. It said, "For the first time today, your broadcast reached me and is a blessing right in my soul. I wish your daily broadcast will reach many hearts. I listen each day." Someone from Antigua said, "I've been listening to your broadcast, and I'm delighted in each part of its operation. When I am sick, I receive something to help. When sad, a message to comfort and cheer. Lonely, some item pointing me to the sinner's friend." From St. Croix, "Greetings in Jesus' name, and praise Him for that Christian radio station in my country. I'm an Antiguan in St. Croix, and I always pray to my Heavenly Father that someone would have a gospel radio station in Antigua. And the Lord answered my prayers. I am enjoying the station very much." A letter came from Georgia in the USA. "You could not imagine how elated I am to be able to inform you that I have heard your station here in Albany, Georgia. I wish that we people here in Albany had such a fine station as the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, so I would not have to listen to the blaring rock music, country music, etc. Maybe I will get lucky one day and move to Antigua. From the island of Montserrat, I know that I am a sinner, but I am asking the Lord to come into my heart and wash away all of my sins." From Dominica, "I am 11 years of age and have a 6-year-old sister. We both listen to the children's time every night, and it's really a blessing. It was because of all the nice Bible stories that I heard about Jesus Christ which drew me closer to Christ. I am very happy because of this nice station. From St. Kitts, I want to be a child of God, and I speak to the Lord and ask Him to come into my heart because I know that I am a sinner. I ask my Lord Jesus to come into my heart and wash all my sins away. Pray for me. And from Antigua, thank you for that beautiful letter you let me know about the way of Christ. I have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sins and ask Him to come into my heart. I am asking the members of this club, Little Lighthouse Club, to pray for me. The scripture says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11.